Hi, and welcome to DC Public Safety. My name is Len Sipes, and at our microphones today is John Hatterty. John is the Director of Workforce and Training Employment for the National Home Builders Association. Now, why did I invite John to be on DC Public Safety? They gave a presentation to the National Committee on Community Corrections a couple weeks ago, talking about the home builders and the fact that they have various sites throughout the United States where they are training the quote-unquote hard-to-employ in home building skills and hopefully providing them with jobs. And so I thought it would be interesting to bring the Home Builders Association on. It's rare that we have a private entity or a corporate entity that can come to the microphone and tell the rest of us their experiences in terms of training and employing the hard to employ, which I am assuming would mean those of us who manage individuals within the criminal justice system. And with that long and cumbersome introduction, John Hatterty, welcome to DC Public Safety.
Thanks very much, Len. Thanks for having me.
The Home Builders Association. Now, it's a bit more complicated than that. There's a Home Builders Institute, the National Association of Home Builders. Tell me about that.
Well, Home Builders Institute is the workforce development arm of the National Association of Home Builders. And the National Association of Home Builders is, very simply put, a trade organization. Anyone who wants to be a home builder or wants to do business with a home builder generally joins NAHB. As part of NAHB's services to its members, it has a nonprofit workforce development arm known as Home Builders Institute. And one of our many initiatives to try to bring people into the home building industry is our Project Trade program and our Project Craft program, which are focused on the needs of youthful offenders and adult offenders.
Okay, so we're focusing on offenders, people caught up in the criminal justice system, not necessarily just the hard to employ, but we're talking of specifically offenders.
Well, Home Builders Institute has a variety of programs. We are the largest national training contractor for the U.S. Department of Labor's Job Corps program. Along with that, that's a separate department within our organization. My department, the Workforce Training and Employment Department, does small customized training programs, well, sometimes large customized training programs, but customized training programs for individual entities such as departments of correction, departments of juvenile justice around the country, focusing on the needs of folks who have gotten themselves in trouble with the law. Additionally, we also work with folks with low-level disabilities. We've done programs for people returning from military service and done job placement for those kinds of folks. So if there is a specific need and there's a way that makes sense for the client to be involved with Home Builders Institute and the residential construction industry, HBI will put on a program to meet those needs.
Okay, I'm going to go macro. The National Home Builders Association, National Association of Home Builders. All of the programs, combine them all. How many sites do you think you're at throughout the country?
Well, there's about 170 Job Corps sites. There's about another.
So you're at all 170 Job Corps sites?
No, there are 170. I misspoke. We are at about 70 Job Corps sites.
70 Job Corps sites.
With about 170 instructors teaching students at those sites.
Okay.
Additionally,
when you say teaching, you're talking bricklaying, carpentry, plumbing, the basics that go into building a house.
Carpentry and landscaping as well.
Okay.
Essentially, our mission is to bring people into the home building industry, and from the perspective of our membership, from the NAHB membership. So what we do is we give these folks a curriculum that has been developed by the industry. It's validated by the industry. A certificate that's recognized by the U.S. Department of Labor as a valid certificate, a credential that they're very interested in, people who are being trained leaving with a credential. And essentially then using our natural relationship with the home building industry and the construction industry to link these people with employment. The reason that the builders are interested in this is that even though we're in a down economic time, there's still a great need for additional folks coming into the trades.
Okay.
The average age of people going in the trades now is anywhere, depending on who you listen to, is anywhere between 38 and 53, depending on which statistic you want to look at or believe. That's still way old for a largely physical activity as construction is.
Sure.
So there's this huge skills gap between these folks who are journey level, if you want to use that term, and the folks who are not coming into the industry, if you will. So we need to fill that gap. On the other side, on the side that makes people like the Florida Department of Juvenile Justice, the Illinois Department of Corrections, the Colorado Department of Corrections, and others interested in this kind of programming, is that our experience and our performance has proven the research that's out there that says recidivism rates go down when you link people to meaningful employment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you train them not for a burger flipping job, but you train them for a job that requires some technical
skill. And that's been the heart and soul of the controversy in terms of training individuals at this level for work for quite some time, and also to get them through the security clearances, because there really aren't any security issues in terms of building a house or building an apartment complex or creating a larger structure. You know, you can have a history of armed robbery and be a successful carpenter.
I often say that there aren't many angels on construction sites. There's a lot of people with a lot of different types of history and a lot of different experiences, so including folks who went to college for a while and decided that college wasn't for them.
By the way, I was going to say that I spent 6 years in law enforcement, and the same thing's been said about my brethren in law enforcement, that there aren't a lot of angels. It was funny when I went to the police academy years ago when we were sitting there examining our backgrounds, and it's like, you did what? And they accepted you?
You know?
Basically, we all stumble somewhere along the way, but minor stumbles in terms of getting into law enforcement. Some not so minor, I discovered. In any way, I completely digress. Somewhere about 5 years ago, I was asking for the total look of the National Association of Home Builders.
Well, we train on average between our Job Corps and our workforce training and employment folks a total of about 3,500 to 4,500 people a year, depending on the year.
You know, that's amazing.
That's
a lot.
It's about 1,000 involved with the WTE department, and out of that, Workforce Training and Employment, the customized programs that I'm involved with.
Okay.
Job Corps is probably the bulk of that number. Our number is more closely, as far as with an offender population, youthful and adult, something like 1,000.
Okay. The industry, you're giving a very pat answer. You're doing exactly what I would do. You're a good spokesperson. You're giving a very pat answer as to why the industry is involved in something like this. I want to have, you and I talked about at the beginning of the right before doing this recording, I wanted to have a flat-out honest conversation about employing these individuals, because I've been working with offenders for God knows about 20 years now, and I did Job Corps. I taught at Job Corps.
Right.
And by the way, the National Association of Home Builders were there, and I was extraordinarily impressed with the program that you guys put on.
Thanks very much.
Could you imagine this? You can take this individual who hasn't succeeded in school, who's had some drug issues, some alcohol issues, he's had some issues at home, and in some cases, the judge at the time, evidently this no longer occurs, the judge says, go to jail or go to Job Corps.
Right. That was certainly part of the equation back in the 80s.
Let me continue praising you a little bit.
Thank you. Well, I'll let you.
You got the tools. You guys provided them with the tools, provided them with training, provided them with jobs. We, in some instances, would even provide them with a change of move them someplace else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe not out of Philadelphia, but a totally different neighborhood in Philadelphia, so that individual could get away, male or female, could get away from all the negative influences of the old neighborhood. So the program through Job Corps, through the National Association of Home Builders, is a pretty impressive program.
Well, thank you very much. And it was a lot of what we learned in our Job Corps experience that helped us put together a program that makes sense for folks who have an offense history. The important thing about getting folks with an offense history and Job Corps students, frankly, linked to employment. My friend Steve calls it long-term labor market attachment. I always tease him about that. It seems like a lot of words to say get somebody a job. But in any event, HBI has learned a lot of lessons. Home Builders Institute has learned a lot of lessons about how you take someone who doesn't have an experience or a role model for work and link them to the construction industry in a way that makes sense for that student. And so what we've learned is that we have these caring instructors, these caring adults, these caring instructors mm-hmm. who are willing to go into the various correctional environments to deliver the training.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, of course, the backbone of the program. These are tradespeople that we find that have an interest in helping people, either through coaching or through their other training or whatever.
Right.
And then the second part of it, and the only way that we get involved as HBI with anybody, because we get phone calls from places that want us to provide training, but they aren't really that interested in us providing the job placement piece or and don't have that accounted for in their plan.
Mm-hmm.
And in those cases, we say, you know, thanks, but no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because frankly, the rubber meets the road when the person leaves the gate or leaves our program and mm-hmm. in a community-based environment, is set up with a job, and is able to support themselves. If you train them but do not link them to employment, you are just you're just setting them up for failure, in our view.
Go ahead. I interrupted.
Okay. Well, it's just that so what we do is we have an instructor that's the backbone of the program, and we have a job placement person who is the face of the program, if you will, who serves as a walking, talking, living, breathing reference for this person
mm-hmm.
and goes and links them to either members of the National Association mm-hmm. of Home Builders, organized labor, or other members of the construction industry, whatever makes sense for that person.
Now, all of you do work through organized labor because organized labor has their own separate programs, correct?
Well, well, in the job corps world, organized labor, many of the organized labor unions have job corps programs where they do training for young people in the job corps setting. Not as many organized labor folks as a organization training in a correctional environment. We seem to be one of the few people that are out there doing that.
And I just wanted to provide clarification that Job Corps is not within a correctional environment.
No,
for people who don't know what Job Corps is, Job Corps is a training program for young men and young women where they go to different Job Corps sites throughout the country. People have struggled in school. The overwhelming majority are dropouts. And who have struggled and basically go to Job Corps to get their GED, get their plumbing certificate, and to get other things that they need to get back on their feet. So Job Corps is not correctional.
No, it is the largest. It is a residential program, but it's sponsored by the U.S. Department of Labor.
Right.
It's for economically disadvantaged folks, and
right.
it's the largest residential training program in the country.
Right. And it's just, I just, in terms of my year of experience there, I found it was just a very, very, very interesting experience. Now, let's get back to the individual offender.
Okay.
Not the easiest person to deal with.
No.
Okay, and in my experience, this becomes the heart and soul of the matter in terms of former offenders. I've talked to lots of employers. Now, again, switching gears just for a second, I need to convince people that people need a second chance. There are a lot of people who are coming out of the prison system. There are a lot of people caught up in the criminal justice system that properly managed in terms of drug treatment, in terms of supervision, they're ready to get the GED. They're ready to go on the job and be a productive employee. But nevertheless, it is still a challenge, and I want to have an honest an honest conversation about that. I talk to employers all the time who say that, Leonard, your people show up, they don't stay. I talk to other employers who have said that, Leonard, they're just not reliable. People who come from a criminal history, people who come from a drug history bring their own unique problems to the job site. And the ones who work do beautifully. But there's a lot of people who simply don't work out. This is not the easiest bunch of people in the world to provide services to. Your comments?
Well, you're right. There, I have had many of those same conversations with employers. There's a couple things. Number one, we make sure that we have a person who's dedicated, whose full-time job is to make sure that this person with an offense history, is working and linked to employment or linked to education.
And I'm going to call this lessons learned. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
If we've struggled in other areas, how has the National Association of Home Builders sort of solved this problem? And do you think you solved the problem?
Well, we do a pretty good job.
Okay.
I don't know if we've, I would have more money than Bill Gates if I could bottle work ethic,
Yep.
And I'd be okay with that, frankly.
Yep.
But what we can do is you can make sure that instead of making job placement the instructor's job or the case manager's job or somebody else's job, that you make it this person's job. That you make
a separate person has
job.
To be out there looking for work,
developing opportunities, and then also, you know, job
for this individual.
Absolutely. There's a difference between job development and job placement. Job development is an imaginary job for an imaginary person somewhere down the road.
Right.
The construction industry does not like imaginary people or imaginary jobs. They like real people who breathe
right.
and work.
Right.
And so job placement is taking that person and linking them to a job with this employer. And in the and often with construction, they are worried more about if the person's going to show up this week
right.
and then where they were last week.
Right.
That's just the fact of the matter. Even in this down economy, there is still a need for more trained entry-level workers.
I've been told that if you're willing to pour concrete,
you can if make you're, some good
if
money
you're
pouring
willing,
concrete.
If you're willing to be out there at 5 o'clock in the morning and it's the dead of winter and it's bitterly cold, or be out there at 5 o'clock in the morning in the heat and humidity of summer.
Right.
And if you're willing to just go along with the program and be taught, you can make an enormous amount of good, solid money. And yet people walk away from those jobs all the time.
They do. It's hard work, and so it's not for everybody. Not only do you need somebody who's concentrating on the placement services for this person, but you got to make sure that you're delivering the placement services in a way that makes sense for the individual's person. If I have a job on this side of town with benefits and training, but it requires a reliable transportation, and you take a person there who doesn't have reliable transportation,
mm-hmm.
you're not delivering those services in a way that makes sense for the
right,
person.
Right.
And so you've got, and if the person, you know, for instance, at our program Project Trade, which is an adult program, if someone learns over the course of their 3 to 6 months that they don't want to be a carpenter, but they still need a job when they leave, I'm not going to force them to be a carpenter, because part of my mission from, again, these entities, the Departments of Corrections and Department of Juvenile Justice, is to make sure they don't bounce back.
Right.
So we deliver placement services in a way that makes sense for folks. And if you're going to work with needy populations, people who do not have a history of work or an example of work in their life generally, then you are also making a commitment to replace them. Meaning, oftentimes, especially our youth programs, the kids make a mistake. You know, they don't show up for work. They don't call in. They do a no-call, no-show. They blow the first job.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to be committed. If you're going to work with a needy population, you got to be committed not only to get them the first job, but to make sure that you stay in touch, you follow up, and get them the second job.
Okay, what I'm hearing is three things thus far, is you develop an individualized approach to training and an individualized approach to job placement, that you have a job development person whose sole job is to find jobs, the appropriate job, and number three, replace them if necessary.
You're right. Replace, meaning get the second job
right.
for the client.
Right, get the second job for the client. Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, but the training itself, I mean, how does one say, gee, I want to be a plumber. I want to be a bricklayer.
Right.
I want to pour concrete. I want to be a carpenter. How does one know that he or she wants to do that? That's part of the issue in terms of not only dealing with the hard-to-service population, whether they're offenders or whether they're not, but it's also being young in many cases and simply not knowing what it is that you want to do, period.
Well, at our Project Trade program, which is an adult program at Sheridan, Illinois, at the Sheridan Correctional Center, we do, along with the other folks inside the fence there, an excellent job of giving people an overview of what's available to them from a training standpoint. There's not, you know, Home Builders Institute has 5 trades at Sheridan, but we're not the only game in town. There's the International Manufacturing Group, which does, which teaches inmates on how to make springs
mm-hmm.
using those computerized machines.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois Valley Community College does some academic training and some, you know, desktop publishing and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so each of the training providers come and they give an opportunity to tell the inmates what exactly is offered with respect to the career, what you could expect to make as an entry-level person,
mm-hmm.
What you can expect to do from a career track standpoint, and largely giving those, giving the inmates and the clients there the opportunity to self-select, meaning, you know what, I think I can be a plumber, I think I can be a brick mason, and
okay.
so they sign up for that class. When they get into our class, we have journey-level instructors who teach, an industry standard for entry-level, meaning you know, our guys know what 16 inches on center means for the carpenters out there. They'll know what that means. Our brick masons, you know, they know what courses are. They know how to mix mud. They know how, you know, they know it's one box of this and one box of that and one box of water to get it all done.
Right.
So we train to an industry standard, not to something just in our curriculum. But the real thing that sets us apart is that we take our young people and our clients and we make sure that they get real-world experience.
Okay, so that's the other big lesson here, real-world experience, meaning how? They actually build things while they're part of the program?
They build. We do not talk about building houses.
We
build houses, or we do things related to building houses. There are something on the order of 150 occupations or specialties involved in building a residential home right now.
Okay.
Anywhere from the landscaping guy to the closet guy to the drywall guy to the painting guy to the carpentry guy and so on and so forth. What we do is we reach out to the nonprofit governmental community in the surrounding area where our programs are located, and we say, if you're willing to buy the material and pull the permits, we are willing to supply the labor as a learning opportunity for our inmates.
Okay.
With our youth programs, oftentimes we take them away from our training sites, outside the fence, take them to Habitat for Humanity, Rebuilding Together, a whole lot of other folks where we go and do this work.
Right.
And it gives people the opportunity to get their hands dirty. You know, it's very easy to get a young person a job as a roofer if I've got a picture of them on a roof, putting down a roof.
Right.
In environments, correctional environments, where access to the community is not an option, such as Sheridan, we bring that work in. In fact, we right now are working on our third Habitat for Humanity house, where the raw materials are coming in the Sallyport. They're going into
our
shop.
They're building a house inside the prison.
We are building the panelized walls, including the electrical rough-in for Habitat for Humanity of Southwest Chicago. The walls go back on a tractor trailer, go out to Sallyport, go to the community and get set up. Now, it would be a wonderful if I could get the guys to go help set the walls, but it's just not.
But they're in prison.
There's a problem with that. So, you know, apparently they're very interested in keeping people inside the fence, which is okay with me.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about the prison system.
Yeah, but the invaluable experience. I mean, you know, here's a picture here. I know this is radio and you can't see a picture, but there's a young woman from our Project Trade program in Pinellas County, Florida, who's on a roof.
Right.
Who's going to be if she wants to be a roofer in Pinellas County, Florida, I'm pretty sure we can get her a job doing that just on the strength of this picture.
So many questions, and we're running out of time. We're going to do another program immediately after this. Now, is it? I'm assuming that these individuals, in many cases young individuals, in many cases who have been battered by life in 100 different ways. I'm not making any excuses in terms of their own criminality, but the honest to God. Correlates of crime, connections with crime, is that they have a substance abuse history, that they raised themselves. They're in many cases victims of abuse and neglect as kids. I mean, they carry an edge to them because of all of the difficulties. Some of these young individuals caught up in crime almost are veterans of war zones. I mean, they're unique individuals. Is there something here about the building trades where they say to themselves, you know what, son of a gun, I'm not doing very well in life, but I can be a bricklayer, and from what these guys are telling me, I can earn $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year from being a bricklayer if I go out there and go through the apprentice program. I mean, what is it that allows them to cross the bridge to be successful in terms of the building trades? What is it about the building trades that attracts success in terms of this particular clientele?
Well, I think particularly with men, many of them are athletes. Many of them like being active. Many of them, the classroom was not the scene of their greatest success. And so the opportunity to learn while doing experiential learning, contextual learning, I think is an advantage the construction trades have over maybe some of the other more classroom-based training programs that might be available to them. But beyond the fact that we've got this industry-validated curriculum, and we've got this great opportunity to sweat and be dirty all day, and so, you know, that's appealing to a lot of guys, you also have caring staff members who reach out, and a lot of it is really based on the really excellent, committed professionals that we're very lucky, HBI is very lucky to find in all the places where we operate. I mean, for example, we have a youth program in Hartford, Connecticut that had its inaugural graduation yesterday, and I was privileged to be there. Nine young people, including two young women, got pre-apprenticeship certificates in facilities maintenance. And the real telling thing was
and we're not talking about mops. We're talking about maintaining the building.
We're talking about wiring and plumbing,
right,
and
we're talking
light
about
carpentry.
Skilled, high-paying jobs.
Yes. We're not talking about making people janitors.
Right.
That's not what this program's about. However, the real telling thing for the program was the way that our instructor there, Marty, really connected with the young people, mm-hmm, and made them understand how much he cared about them.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they made mistakes and ended up, you know, one young person, for instance, spent some time in detention because he did something silly when he was actually still as part of our community-based program there.
Mm-hmm.
But Marty did, you know, Marty did an excellent job of reeling that young person back in, getting him reconnected, recommitted to the program, and then ultimately was able to get him to a place where we can give him a Department of Labor recognized certificate of pre-apprenticeship attainment.
And then they go out and apprentice.
Well, it used to be that a pre-apprenticeship program was connected to an apprenticeship program, and that was the only avenue.
Right.
That's kind of changed in the landscape.
Okay.
Tony Swoop, who used to run the Bureau of Apprenticeship, Office of Apprenticeship in U.S. Department of Labor, is now on record as stating that, you know, pre-apprenticeship is a great first step, and it can take you in a number of directions. It can take you to an apprenticeship program.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, and they're great, and they do wonderful things for kids.
But
they
it can also take you to a job.
It can take you to your first job. It can take you to continuing education. And in some cases where, you know, the present administration has put some resources toward articulation agreements between trade organizations, community colleges, you know, there are some places in the world where you can actually finish an apprenticeship while at the same time getting an associate's degree and finishing high school, kind of all involved in the same set of activities. So, but going all the way back to your original question, the activity, building a house, it's a lot of fun. If you like using tools, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, it's really fun if you've got an adult there who's willing to believe in you and who's willing to walk into a business with you and say, this young person or this person has worked with our program for 6 months, and yeah, they got themselves in trouble at some point, but let me tell you about what they've been doing for 6 months, and I think that maybe you can give this person a chance as a helper in your business.
We only have 3 minutes before the end of the program, and I've been really remiss. Ladies and gentlemen, this is John Hatterty. John is with the National Association of Home Builders, specifically the workforce development arm of the National Association of Home Builders, the Home Builders Institute. The web address is www.hbi.org, www.hbi.org. And I'm going to summarize, John. What you've told me is this. The Home Builders Associations, they're throughout the country, they're doing a very good job of taking the quote-unquote hard-to-employ, training them and placing them on jobs. And what you're telling me is this, that there's an individualized approach, that you have a person, his sole job is job development. You replace them if necessary, because some instances a person decides not to be a carpenter, but now he wants to be a bricklayer. The job involves hands-on experience. They know what to do by the time they're done the program. These are programs with a future. There's a clear job progression beyond that, and they're good-paying programs or good-paying occupations at that. And it sounds like the last major point that you're making is that there's a caring staff, and that caring staff and professional staff seems to reach out to these individuals, where you guys have success, where in many instances a lot of similar programs do not have success.
Well, you know, I don't want to talk about other programs. I just know that we've got some folks that work very, very hard, and we've had some really good success, and we've got some really excellent success stories, and some folks that are going out of jail. Now, we started this conversation by talking about some of the times that some of the feedback we get from the business community about ex-offenders and their performance in the job site. You know, we have those stories too. We don't knock every pitch out of the park. But our batting average will keep us in the major leagues for a very, very long time.
Okay, John Hattery, from the National Association of Home Builders. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to DC Public Safety. The website for the National Association of Home Builders and his particular program, www.hbi.org. Have yourselves a very, very pleasant day.